title for today's study is There Remains Then a Sabbath Rest for the People of God, taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. I have been looking forward with great expectation to preparing and sharing this devotion with you. On Sunday the 10th of May, we listened to the UK Prime Minister giving a glimpse of the government's plans to incrementally unlock the country, to allow folk to mobilise just a little. But he emphasised we must continue to keep alert and follow the government's guidelines. We are all looking to a time when we can get out of our homes in freedom without the hidden dangers of catching the coronavirus. We have also celebrated the 75th anniversary of VE Day. There was one word often spoken on the lips of the soldiers returning from war. And as we watched recordings of people on the 8th of May 1945 dancing the streets, the word on their lips was freedom. When Jesus was unlawfully taken prisoner and brought to trial before the leaders, the disciples fled. They retreated to the upper room. They were on lockdown because of fear. They feared the Jewish leaders would arrest them also and kill them as they had done to Jesus. Many folk today are in isolation, locked down for fear of catching the coronavirus, which could kill them. We read in John 20, 19 and 20, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We then go on to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." What did Jesus tell them to do? Wait. On Sunday the 10th of May, which was the 49th day after the lockdown, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom announced that the next day, the 50th day, some people of his country could return back to work. It was 50 days since we were put on lockdown. With every sign, things were beginning to ease up a little. The coronavirus was now under control. As already mentioned in one of my previous studies, numbers are very significant in the Bible. While listening to one of Christine Darg's messages on the TV God channel, Christine explained that the word Pentecost in the Greek means 50. There are 50 days between the resurrection of Jesus, which occurred on the first fruits holiday of Passover, leading up to Pentecost, when the Jews still celebrate Shavuot, which this year is on the 31st of May. It is at Pentecost the disciples experienced freedom. Let us pause a moment and go back into the Old Testament, when the Israelites first left Egypt, having been released from the fear and tyranny of Pharaoh. It was 50 days afterwards that God asked Moses to climb Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments. It was so important that the people needed God's guidance, written on slabs of stone. Now they had freedom. For the disciples, we discover the timeline from when Jesus rose from the dead, which we read about in Acts 1:1-4. In my former book, Theosophists, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus died and rose again during the Feast of Passover. And then 50 days later, the Jews celebrated Shavuot. This is a celebration for which God took the Israelites out of Egypt. It was on the 50th day God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Then we read in Acts 2:1-7, when the day of Pentecost came, they, that is the 11 disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews, from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? There are two important differences between the 50 days in the Old Testament and the 50 days mentioned in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, which are all about rules and regulations. It was all about doing things in your own strength, but in the New Testament, the 50 days were about waiting and receiving. It was about living under the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, living and working in God's strength and under His mighty power. Living in the farming community, one machine I'm intrigued by is the JCB digger. A man can be seen in the cab pulling levers. The machine powerfully responds. It is able to do so much more than the operator, with so little effort to move the earth. All the man needs is a skill to just pull the levers. It is how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. As we operate in the gifts that God gives to each one of us, we will see God's mighty hand working through us, bringing great transformation to the lives of folk God will touch through our obedience to Him. Let us go back again to the Old Testament and see another occasion when God speaks about 50. During the time the Israelites were wandering in the desert, God through Moses said to the people in Exodus 20:9-12, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In Acts 20:7 we read, on the first day of the week we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people. Then we read in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside the sum of money to in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Down through the centuries, God's people have set aside the first day of the week as a day of rest, set aside to worship Him. In this last half century, oh, how the church has neglected this remembrance. If God gave His ordinance back in the Old Testament, then we, by neglecting the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, are we not building up God's wrath for us today? What does God continue to say in Leviticus 25? The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your male and female servants, and the hired workers and temporary residents who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Count 7 Sabbaths years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7th Sabbath year amount to a period of 49 years. Then sound the trumpet everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap whatever grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. Having been born on a farm and spending a good deal of my life living in the farming community and seeing the way farming is done today, seeing farmers feeding the land with high quantities of fertilizers in order for the land to produce yet even higher yields, with the land not getting a rest which God spoke about, could we see danger ahead of us? I do recall on just one occasion my father kept a field fallow, not planting on it for 1 year. During the summer that year, he would run the cultivator through the soil to kill the weeds. So the next year, when he planted the seed, it would be weed-free and not be smothered by them. Sometimes we need that time set apart, so while we are on lockdown during the coronavirus, we can enjoy a Sabbath rest to revalue our lives and deal with those things in our lives which can cause us to be ineffective in our witness and service for God. It is all in preparation for us to be ready for the great ingathering of souls into God's kingdom that is about to commence. Let us now return to the number 50. Is God saying that what we have just experienced, the 50 days of lockdown, will be giving us a rest? Should we now be living in anticipation of God giving us new energy? Are we going to see an abundant harvest, spiritual crops as never known before, right across the world? It gives me an air of excitement and anticipation. So what lessons can we learn from all these 50s mentioned in the Bible? In order to see a dramatic change in our society, we need two things to happen first. This lockdown of fear can be the turning of men's hearts back to the Lord. The parable Jesus gave of the prodigal son illustrates this point. We read what the prodigal did when he was at his lowest point. We read in Luke 15:17, when he came to his senses. Yes, mankind is seeking in the wrong places, but God has the answer, and we pray that many will come to their senses. We read in Romans 5:5-7, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. The Apostle Paul said with fervour and great conviction in Romans 1:15-17, "That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Paul also said in 1 Timothy 2:3-5, "This is good and pleasing God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." For the people of God, the church, it is time to start planting. If we are to reap a rich harvest, as we read in Hosea 10:12, which says, "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." This brings me to my second point. We also need to see a turning in the heart of God's people. We need to see men and women empowered by God, empowered by God's Holy Spirit, speaking with boldness and preaching with power the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to hear people say, as they did when Peter first preached on the day of Pentecost, "What shall we do?" We need that same power and authority as the disciples had. Yet let us not forget that after Jesus spent those 40 days in the wilderness, having been tempted by Satan, we read in Luke 4:14-19, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to preach freedom for the prisoners and recover of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Each one of us, as God's children, have God's Holy Spirit living in us. We too can experience and manifest that same power that Jesus had when he spoke in the temple. The world is on lockdown because of fear of catching the coronavirus. The world needs what the disciples experienced at Barun, a manifestation of Jesus. Many Muslim folk are experiencing Jesus appearing to them in a vision and becoming his followers. Over the last century, we have met and heard evangelists preach with that same authority and power that the apostle did in the New Testament. But these preachers saw they lacked and had to search and ask God for that same authority and power. We cannot preach and witness in our own strength if we're going to be effective and fruitful. We need God's strength. We need that supernatural empowering to share the gospel with power. In the Bible we read what transpired when Stephen spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 6:9-11. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freemen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. We will get opposition, yes, from the world, but we will also get opposition from the religious leaders as well, those who do not know the inner leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. What did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 1, 17-18? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 2, 2-5, For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. My desire and prayer is that these studies will not be just for the encouragement of the church, but we will see a breakout outside our church community to see God's word widely preached and taught in the whole world, to bring folk freedom and to bring them into the kingdom of God. Please listen to part two, where I will give you three wonderful testimonies of men who became empowered after being anointed by the Holy Spirit.